August 15th, Duncan, BC, Mr. Tim Jang. Mr. Jang, when were you born and where did you grow up?
Oh, I was born in Fraser Canyon, a town called Yale, and it's about 100 miles east of Vancouver.
Had your family been in Yale a long time?
Yes, they had. They were there in the latter part of the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. What were they doing there? Who came over? Was it your grandfather or your father?
My father came over, and he came over to work on a railroad and went prospecting. Then he had a dry goods store. He's jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. He's a barber. He's a shoe repairer. A bit of a dry good.
He went prospecting for gold.
Yeah.
Did he find any?
Oh, the usual. He made his living at it at one time.
When you were growing up in Yale, how many Chinese were living there?
Well, actually, there's only two families left at the time when I was growing up there. Mm-hmm. And that's the An Li family, and we're the Fuk Wu family. Mm-hmm. We call it the Fuk Wu family because that's the name of the store at the time. You know? And everybody, as a matter of fact, I was registered as Timothy Wu, you know, until we got things changed to our correct surname. Mm.
So there were only two families.
Yeah.
Were there a lot of single men living there?
No, not at that time.
When were you growing up there then?
Oh, this would be up to about 1926, 27.
Had there been a larger Chinese population?
Oh yes, at one time there's as much as 10,000 Chinese up there.
In Yale?
In Yale. Well, transients, you know, because mm-hmm. This is as far as they can go by boat up the Fraser Canyon, you see.
So they had to stop at Yale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And where would they go from there?
Well, they'll travel, in earlier days, they'll travel by foot.
Mm-hmm. Were these railway workers?
They're brought in there as railroad workers. Oh, yes.
Did your father's store handle gold, too?
No, not really. He'll go out and prospect or something down the river, and it's just pan.
I was just wondering if men ever came in with gold that they had brought in and traded stuff at your father's store.
Oh, occasionally. They don't... He would trade in gold, you know. It's a commodity.
When you were growing up, were there a lot of old buildings that had belonged to the Chinese before?
Most of them are gone by then, you know. This is a lot of the Chinese have left Yale in the early part of the 1900s. Actually, we're the only two Chinese family there at the time.
And there was no other
Chinese? When I remember.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of Chinese buildings were left?
Well, just the An Li family in our store and where we live, and then the Chinese temple.
Mm-hmm. What was the temple like? Did you ever go in?
Oh, yes. My father was the temple keeper.
What was in the temple?
All your usual idols, you know, worshiping the worship.
What were your father's duties when he kept the temple? He duty to keep it clean and...
He'll light the incense and the different things to festive occasions and things like that.
Just sort of kept the thing going then.
But there weren't any Chinese there. Why was he doing it?
Well, he believed in it himself. You know, it's part of their religion.
Mm-hmm. And did you do a part of this too?
Well, we're brought up that way, but I don't know whether I believe in it or not, really. Like, it's the same way with the English religion. I believe in it to a certain extent, you know.
Did you go to school in Yale, too?
Yes, I went to school in Yale. By the time I went to school, we moved to Vancouver, and we go back. We have an orchard there, cherry orchard, that we pick and sell on the train. And every year we go back for the harvest, and then after the season's over, we move back to Vancouver.
So I guess your summer job was working in the orchard then?
Yeah. And from the time we're able to walk, we're working in the orchard.
Mm-hmm. What kind of work was involved?
Oh, picking cherry, bagging cherries.
And you sold this on the train?
Uh-huh.
Well, that wasn't a very long season though, was it?
No. Well, you start off, like in the spring, you start off by selling lilacs. You cut lilacs in bunches, see, and you sell these on the train. Well, they have about a 10-minute stop. The train have about a 10-minute stop. And if you can keep out of the newsies way, the chap on the train that sells magazines and candies and things, we call them the newsies, you see. And you keep out of his way, you see. So we hop on the train and we start selling. So you start from lilacs, then you go into cherries, and then after the cherries you got your apples and your plums and the pears and different things like that. And we'll start school there in September, and by the end of September or middle of October, all the fruit season will be finished, and we'll go back to Vancouver.
I guess working on the train you'd have to move really quickly, eh?
Well, we're as you grow older, you take your best advantage point. You jump on the train and sell us.
Did you go to Chinese school?
No, not in Yale, but we did in Vancouver.
How many years did you go?
Well, I'm ashamed to say I went to school for 7 years. I can hardly speak the language, and I've been away from, like, quite often I've been away from the Chinese community.
Mm-hmm.
And I lose what I've learned, you know.
And that happens.
And until such times that I associate with the Chinese community again through work or something, well, I'll have to pick it up again, see.
Were you living near Chinatown in Vancouver?
Fairly close, yes.
So what happened after you graduated from high school?
Well, I didn't graduate from high school. I went to Vancouver Tech, but I didn't graduate during the Depression years.
Mm-hmm. What was the Depression like in Chinatown? Like, how did it show amongst the Chinese community?
Well, there's a lot of people out of work, a lot of people without any money, same as our family at the time. My father died when I was about 10 years old, and our family is a large family, and all young at the time. Mother had to look after us, and she had to take welfare at the time.
How many kids were there that she had to take care of?
Well, there was 10 of us. We had 12, and two died as infants.
You were lucky enough to have this orchard out in Yale that you went back to work on.
Yeah, well, it's part of it. We have our own, then we have a part that we lease.
So did you quit school to go to work?
Mm-hmm. I quit in grade 10.
Yeah.
And I went to the cannery and worked in the cannery, and then worked in a grocery fruit and vegetable store. Delivery boy, and every year I went back to the cannery.
Which cannery was this?
Oh, it's way up the west coast.
On the Skeena? How far?
No, River's Inlet. Frank Chin and James Chin.
They might be relatives of mine.
Were they the contractors?
Yeah. Okay.
But they were the contractors.
What? How did that system work? I've never really understood how Chinese people got sent to the canneries.
Well, they would contract the cannery out, and they would bid so much per case. Might be 3 cents a case or something, whatever, I don't know. And this is what they bid. And this is what the company will pay the contractor, and the contractor supply all the manpower for that.
How large a group would they take from Vancouver?
Well, it depends on the size of the cannery. Mm-hmm.
What about the one you were working at?
Well, that was a small cannery. It's probably about 30 men. 30.
Were they all Chinese?
Well, the group that work in the cannery, yes, they're. They do this every year, see.
How long was the season? How long did you work?
Oh, about 2 or 3 months.
Starting in what, August or July?
June. Mm. See, it depends when your season starts. You know, your run of salmon will come in. See.
Was there a lot of competition to get the cannery jobs from to get hired by these contractors?
Yes, at the time, yes.
How were the wages? Were they competitive?
Oh, I suppose with the times, it's 17 and a half cents an hour, I think we were paid at the time. 17 cents, something like that.
But you got room and board at the cannery?
Oh, yes, your transportation, room and board.
Tell me, did they segregate the Chinese workers from the rest of the workers? Like Chinese bunkhouse, something like that?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, this is their own choice, really. Because the contractor supply your food and your cook and your accommodation, you see.
So
just for the Chinese people.
Just for the Chinese. So they would put them naturally in one bunkhouse then?
Oh, yes.
I see.
It's by their own choice, of course. You know.
So you'd have Chinese cooks there, too?
Oh, yes.
During the Depression, there's some people say that a lot of the unemployed white workers were very sympathetic with the unemployed Chinese workers. Is that true?
Of course, I was just a youngster in those days, too, you know. Mind you, I was in the workforce, but then I still consider a youngster. You know? I was only about 14 years old.
You were working in the canneries then?
Huh? Yeah.
Were there other kids your age working in the canneries?
Oh, yeah. You don't have to tell everybody how old you are, you know. It's a job. I work in a fruit and vegetable store for $13 a month.
What did you have to do in the grocery store? What was your
job? Mostly delivery and cleaning vegetables, stacking fruit, sales, whatever.
Could you live on $13 a month at that
point? Oh, they would provide meals, you know.
Which firm was this for, can you say?
Well, I don't want to say, okay. Really. But,
so how long did you work at the grocery store for?
It's just about a year and a half.
Was that before or after the cannery?
Oh, it's between seasons. Like,
oh, I see, yeah.
Because you only work in the cannery, you go 3 months.
Mm. Were the people that went up to the canneries, I guess they were all ages then?
Oh, yes, up to... Well, some of them are very elderly, as a matter of fact, about them. Mm-hmm.
Were there any ever problems up there at the cannabis, between, racial problems?
Not really, no. But, anyway, I came over here to work in 1934, when I first came over to Duncan.
Mm-hmm. And, you came over here in 1934. What did you do here?
I was supposed to go work in a mill, and the day I came over, the mill closed down. So I went clearing land for one of the mill owners for about 3 months, and then I went to work in the mill, just piling lumber.
Was this a Chinese mill?
No, it's Mind you, they have a Chinese foreman, you know, but...
Did you work under the Chinese foreman?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's about the only way you can get a job in those days, too.
So you were contracted under this Chinese foreman?
Yeah.
Is this the same system as the contractors that you were mentioning before?
Yes, in a way, yes. Only they don't provide board. They give you a room, but no board. And then what they call sick at you pie, you know, how much it is, and then they work it out to the per day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they deduct that off your pay.
Well, how much were you getting then?
17 and a half cents.
An hour.
That's when I first started.
Goodness gracious.
And we had a lot of money then. 17 and a half cents.
I guess it bought a lot more things in those days.
I used to have about $30 every month to spend.
Did you have to send a lot of that back to your mom?
Not a great deal, no. But, and I moved from various mills and various towns from then on.
Where were you clearing land? Right here in Duncan or further out?
Close by here.
Were they building, was Duncan already a town then?
Oh yes, but it's a small town, what they call a one-horse town at the time. I kind of like it too. Much more so than now, where it's sort of grown too big for his britches, you know.
What did you like best about Duncan in those days?
You get to know the people. If I go uptown, it takes me hours to get home again because I talk to everybody. Now you go uptown, you hardly know anybody.
How many people were living in Duncan then?
Oh, it was. Quite a few thousand, no, in the surrounding area.
And how many Chinese?
Well, there's a lot of single Chinese, you know, that lives in camp, but they come out for the weekend. So there's a big community here at the time, 300-400.
Did they work in a mill?
Like, yes, mostly in a mill and logging.
Mm-hmm.
This is before the chainsaw, before the modern technology.
So they were loggers then?
Oh yes, yes, a lot of us.
Were they considered good workers, good loggers?
They were. You know. Until the advent of modern technology.
You mean with the power saws and the chainsaws? Didn't the Chinese adapt to the chainsaws?
Well, they were getting old too at the time, you know. The chainsaw probably came in about 1938, 39, 40, you know. And most of the Chinese at the time, well, a lot of them are getting older, you know.
But did they go back to China, most of them?
Well, some of them did. Not a great deal of them, though. Most of them made their lives over here, and of course, after the war years, they opened up the immigration, and a lot of them brought their wives over, and family over.
So a lot of the workers actually stayed in Canada.
Mm-hmm,
then.
Mm-hmm.
In 1934, was there much of a Chinatown in Duncan here?
Yes, there was. It was a big community.
What did it look like? A physical community. What kind of buildings were there?
It's all wooden buildings. I think it's very picturesque, really.
Is that where it was on first, what is now First, Second, and Third Street?
No. They tore it down about 5-6 years ago, and one of the wreckers retained all the old buildings and they moved it out to what they call, they rebuilt the old buildings, and they got these second-hand antique stores and different things there, just about 3 miles from town here.
Oh, you mean at Whipple?
Yeah, Whipple.
Yeah. Those are the old buildings from
Those are from Chinatown.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
We've been there.
Those buildings are from Chinatown.
I want to go there.
Oh, all of them. There's quite a lot of old buildings.
Most of them are.
From Duncan's Chinatown.
Yeah, most of them are.
It's a good thing he saved them then and retained
them. Yeah.
Gee, we should go there with somebody who knows, who used to know what they used to be, because now they've all got new names and different, you know, they've got all new names. It's nothing that you would know that they were from Duncan's Chinatown. What kind of stores were they?
Well, a couple of restaurants, the Chinese Freemason, Dot Kun Club, and you know, various clan. Like that.
Clan halls.
Yeah. And your gambling joints. Course.
Were there a lot?
It's quite a few. Yeah.
What did they play? What were the big games?
Mostly Fantan. Lottery and...
Did you ever play?
Oh, yes. Not so much after I married. I haven't played since I got married.
Could you win? Is it possible to win?
Oh, yes. It's a very honest, like they play it very honest, like it's like a Reno. The odds are with them, of course, but.
Were there any Chinese families in Duncan then?
Yes, there's quite a few Chinese family.
In 1934.
Yeah.
Were they the merchant families or what were they?
Mostly merchant.
You know which were the big ones? Which were the big merchants here in Duncan then, in 1934?
Su Li is one of them, the Chow brothers. And Gwen Cheong and Ba King Lao. Yeah, Guang Sang. It's quite a few, you know. But Gordy Jung, what's their family name? Huh? No. So long ago, I can't remember. Pardon? Yeah. So long ago, I can't remember the name right offhand.
So how long did you stay in Duncan then? You were here working at the sawmills and you were moving around.
Oh, 1938. What Victoria. And about 1940 I came back here.
You were always working in mills, were you?
Mostly mills, yeah.
Was it the same kind of work at the different mills?
Sometime. Not all the same.
What was the major kind of job that you did then?
I worked in the sash and door factory and shingle mills. You know. But it mostly has to do with wood.
Did you fight in the war?
Pardon?
In World War II, did you fight? Were you conscripted?
Well, I was in the army. I suppose you have to say I was called up. I went overseas with the...
Where did you go?
They're in India mostly. Took our training there. And
Were you the group that volunteered or were conscripted?
You volunteered.
Because conscription didn't happen until quite late.
I guess you can call it volunteer, really.
Was there much of a controversy at that time about the Chinese not having a vote and yet going to fight?
Well, there's feelings. There's feelings about it, you know.
How did you feel?
I didn't care one way or another, I don't think. I knew I was going to go, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. And you said you went to India?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get your training? Did you get it in Canada?
Our basic training we took in Canada, and we took all our advanced training in India.
Well, what base did you get your training at?
Well, we were moved from various cities in India for various training.
Maple Creek here?
In Canada.
Was your unit, did your unit have a lot of Chinese in it?
Well, they're all Chinese that went overseas.
In your division?
Yeah. Oh. They're all Chinese Canadian.
Special unit?
Yeah. This is an all-volunteer unit for a special mission.
What was the number for your division? What number was it?
No, we were called Force 136, but then that was the... we're sort of attached to the British Army at the time.
When were you shipped abroad then?
1943, I guess. Yeah, spring 44. We came back 46.
Did you see action in India?
No, not. But we just finished training and in the rest camp, waiting to be shipped out and war ended. So we're lucky.
What happened after you came back to Canada?
Oh, went back to work, got married.
Back to the sawmills?
No, I was doing carpenter work at the time. I took a bit of carpenter work training before I went overseas, before I got called.
So did you come there as a private contractor then? After the war?
In Vancouver, yes.
You worked in Vancouver before you came to Duncan. Why did you decide to come over to Duncan?
Well, I went into the poultry business then.
Oh. We didn't know that. You went into the poultry business?
Yeah.
How hard was your flock?
Well, I buy and sell chicken at the time, and I sort of fell heir to it.
Oh, the business was passed on to you, here in Duncan.
Yeah. So, I worked at that for a couple of years.
What's it like running a poultry farm?
It wasn't a farm, it was just more or less a slaughterhouse and a store.
It was horrible.
Was dirty.
Smelly?
Smelly. Lice.
So people brought in, people would send you fresh chicken, I mean live?
I go out to the farms and buy it. And
kill them?
Kill them and sell them.
Did you have orders like from not supermarkets, but you know, stores and like that? Or did
people
come and choose the chicken?
We have a store that we send to every week.
People
came to buy too.
They did
it.
Like remember
in
Vancouver,
yeah,
you used to be able to choose chicken.
Choose
chicken.
The one and we
clean
it.
Yeah.
He used to do that too.
Yeah.
How long were
you in
the poultry
business? I missed that part.
About a couple of years.
Gichawa.
Yeah, but it's nice though.
I know.
My husband's okay.
I
am.
Then I went into...
You did some carpentry work here.
Well...
After
no, I went into dry cleaning business, and I worked for a dry cleaning firm, and then became manager of it until I was allergic to the cleaning compound, so I had to quit that. Then I went to carpentry work. Then I went back in the mill, and I became foreman in the mill.
You know your carpentry training. Where did you get that?
Actually, I learned that in Victoria. I followed a carpenter around for a couple of years and started to pick up the trade.
Did you Wasn't it unusual for you to have a trade like that? A carpenter rather than being just a sawmill?
Well, at the time, it was something to do, you know, whatever job was open for you. So this carpenter wanted somebody. I followed him around for a couple of years and I learned the trade.
No, yeah, what I was trying to get at was, were there very many Chinese carpenters like that?
No, not too many, no.
Because I remember my dad was a carpenter, and it was very unusual for him to be a carpenter because most of the Chinese were not in actual carpentry trades, like being a tradesman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why I was wondering if it was unusual.
Well, During the war, I worked for some of the big companies, you know, and I joined the union and everything, where you had to, of course. But,